نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Continuing the kitab and our correction of our beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief number one, Allah ta'ala was always in existence and will always remain in existence. Allah ta'ala is the ever living. The whole universe was non-existent. When Allah ta'ala created the world, it came into existence. In many verses of the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that He created the world. The world did not come into existence by itself or by any big bang. The perfect administration and regulation of the universe speaks for itself by testifying that our Creator and Supervisor is an extremely knowledgeable, wise, powerful and mighty being. A few logical examples. A person looks at a book which is beautifully penned. That is, the book is extremely beautiful and the language therein very eloquent. Logically, he will realize that this is not the result of ink and its coincidental and accidental movements, but the work of an experienced and expert author and calligrapher. Another example, a person looks at a beautiful palace, which has numerous spacious and impressive rooms, extremely beautiful carpets and lights, as well as equally attractive springs and fountains. Only a foolish person will claim that this is the result of the coincidental mixing of sand and water. Any intelligent person will be forced to exclaim that this is the work of expert engineers and builders. When looking at a watch, one observes all the intricate parts within it. He then notes the accurateness of its movement and its meticulous functioning. The obvious conclusion will be that the watch has been constructed by an expert watchmaker. If someone claims that a blind, deaf and dumb person who has no understanding or knowledge of watchmaking is the one who constructed this watch, then no sane person will accept this conclusion. Alternatively, if someone claims that it is the result of coincidental and accidental movements of matter which gave rise to the form of the watch, and then after further movements of this matter, all the intricacies of this watch was formed, all these parts got together by themselves and started functioning, giving correct time, he will be regarded as insane. The perfect movement, functioning and existence of the entire universe all point to the existence of a most powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, most wise being. A few incidents. Once a group of atheists came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi with the intention of killing him. The Imam asked them what they would say about a person who claims that he sees a ship laden with goods sailing on the sea and it takes goods from one end to the other. The ship navigates the waves perfectly and there is no sailor to steer the ship. The goods get loaded on and off by the ship by itself. They replied that it is such a nonsensical contention that no sane human would accept it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi told them, "Pity on your intelligence. If a ship cannot sail and operate without a sailor, how can the entire universe operate without an operator?" Upon hearing this, all of them were embarrassed. They repented and accepted Islam at the Imam's hands. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the second half of Surah Baqarah was recited. It is one and a quarter juz, starting from the second quarter of the second para. In the first para, in Surah Baqarah, which is the longest surah in the Quran al-Kareem, so ulama say in the first half, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions usools and principles, mainly regarding our aqaid and our beliefs. In the second half, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions furu'at. That means the masail, the detailed masail, in our deen. Or you can say in the first half of the surah, Allah Ta'ala is addressing ummat da'wat, the ummat who Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving da'wat to the Jews and the Christians. And the second half, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing ummat ijabat, those who have accepted the call. Now there are certain laws and guidelines for them, how they should follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first ayat, which is called ayatul birr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that what actual piety is not only confining deen to one or two aspects in our life, but the whole of deen has to come into a person's life. So at that time there was a masala where people, the direction of Qibla, it's a very important part of our deen we have to face. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching us to see the direction of Qibla is not the objective. The objective is who is giving the command. It's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if today Allah says you must face the Qibla, we must listen. Sami'ana wa ta'ana, we must hear and obey. If tomorrow Allah says face another direction, the direction itself is not the objective. The objective is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Namaz itself is not the objective. The objective is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if, for example, Hajj time, when a person is going from Arafah to Muzdalifah, at that time he mustn't perform Maghrib Salat in Arafah. He must wait, he must delay the Maghrib Salat. Allah is teaching us here that namaz also, salat, is a very great and important worship, part of worship. But there are certain, when my command comes, you mustn't perform salat now, you don't perform. Zawal time, sunrise, sunset, you don't perform salat, is my command. Fasting is a very great form of worship, but Allah says, don't fast on the day of Eid, Bakri Eid, one day before Ramadan, you don't fast on that day, it's makruh, a person abstains from it. So every the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supersedes everything. So here also Allah ta'ala says that facing your direction towards the east or the west is not the objective. The objective is to follow Allah's commands. And this is five branches of deen. The first branch is, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, believing in Allah and the day of Qiyamah and the angels, the kitabs, the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, a person's aqaid and beliefs must be correct. Number two, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, fulfilling the rights of people, what we call our mu'asharat, how must a person deal with people, fulfill the rights of people. So this is also an important part of deen. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, establishing salat and giving of zakat, what we call ibadat, our formal acts of worship, this also has to be correct. Then, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا, a person's business dealings, fulfilling pacts and promises. When a person has done a deal with somebody, he must make sure he fulfills it. So a person's mu'amalat, his business dealings must be correct. And وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَفِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ, the most important quality of akhlaq and character, which is the quality of sabr. So a person's akhlaq must be correct. So when a person has got all of these five branches in his life, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, they are the people who are truthful, they are the people who have got taqwa in their lives. Another place of the Quran, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, O people of Iman, bring taqwa within yourself. So a person asks, what is taqwa? So Allah Ta'ala says, yes, taqwa. You got these qualities, the whole of deen is in your life. This is what is called taqwa. Obeying every single command of Allah Ta'ala and abstaining from the prohibitions. And how will a person get this? وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, stay with the people who are truthful. So who are the truthful people? Allah said, these are the truthful people. They've got the whole of deen in their lives. They are the truthful people. They are the ones of taqwa. So how you will bring taqwa? You must stay in the company of such people who've got the whole of deen in their lives, so that this will also come into your life. Hereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in great detail now mentions, before this he spoke about salah, the importance of salah, the direction of qibla. So now Allah says, that's not the only part of deen, that's an important part of deen. Aqidah is also important, but also the other parts are very important in our deen. How does a person love the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Example regarding, Allah mentions, what is taqwa? Qisas, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding retribution. If somebody has caused harm to somebody else, one person has taken the life of somebody else, then what is the law regarding that? So that's also an important part of deen. Allah said, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ, O intelligent people, remember, by having qisas, the laws of Islam regarding the penalties, punishments, there will be life for you people. One person has taken somebody else's life, now you just lock him up in jail, give him a 2-year sentence, this will create more facade and trouble in the world. But when a person's life is taken, you will suddenly see the whole country now will come right. Crime will come to a stop. There won't be any more crime taking place. You know, in Afghanistan, when they took over the country, there was so much of lawlessness taking place. But in a short while, they just established the Islamic law. And alhamdulillah, not even a few months, complete peace and serenity came in the country. Where when we went once, they explained to us that in the whole like Ramadan time, Eid time, normally there were so many incidents used to take place. That whole Eid, not even one incident took place in the whole country. Besides a few traffic accidents, there was no killing, there was no harming of anyone. This is when the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become apparent. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the laws when a person is passing away to make wasiyat. This is also an important part of our deen. And then regarding fasting, fasting also is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much a person fasts, as Hazrat mentioned in great detail, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السُّيَامُ, fasting has been made farz upon you, like how it was made farz upon the people of the past. And it's a few days. And the object of fasting also is to get taqwa, or these qualities of taqwa will come when a person will follow these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great importance of the month of Ramadan and the Quran Sharif, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions masail regarding Ramadan, and in between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about dua. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, Allah ta'ala mentions about dua. So dua is Allah saying, whenever you ask me, I'm close to you, I will accept your duas. But the ulama say that Allah ta'ala mentioned it especially in the section here of Ramadan, to show the importance of dua in the month of Ramadan. That in the month of Ramadan, when a person is fasting, du'as are readily accepted. So a person must take full advantage of making du'a during the month of Ramadan. And also at night, it comes in certain hadith, that Allah Ta'ala says that the angels, they leave all the other work. Normally du'as are accepted in the last one third of the night very easily. But in the month of Ramadan, the whole night after Maghrib, until the time of Sehri, du'as are readily accepted. And when a person is fasting the whole day, so 24 hours of the day and night, in the month of Ramadan, du'as are readily accepted. During the day, the fasting person's du'as, and at night, the whole night du'as are accepted. So this is a month of du'a, we should take full advantage of it. And Allah says, Ujibu da'awat al-da'i idha da'ana. I will definitely answer the du'a of those who are calling to me, when they call out to me. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah accepts in different ways. But we should not shy of asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to give. So we should appreciate and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also the importance of i'tikaf. That i'tikaf also, the object of i'tikaf is to get taqwa. All of these qualities will bring taqwa in a person's life. But if a person is doing all of this, but his food is wrong, his business dealings are upside down, then obviously a person won't get the benefit because he's putting haram into his stomach. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't eat your wealth in the wrong ways. A person must be careful how the money he's earning, his business transactions also according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the hilal and the Islamic calendar. It's a very important part of our deen. Also ulama says, farz-e kifaya, it is our duty and responsibility to look after this calendar, and we should try to use our calendar first before using the other calendar. It's out of necessity we are used. It's both are the systems of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ours is the lunar calendar. So we should give preference to the lunar calendar. For example, our Hazrat says that, how many of us we know the day we were born? The Islamic day. Ask any person, he'll tell you immediately the English date. But which year Islamically he was born? When did my nikah take place? Which year it was? All of that we've got in our minds, the English way, the day system. We have to actually bring to ourselves the Islamic system. So Allah mentions about that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the great law of jihad, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it also has got laws, how it must be done. There are certain restrictions and regulations. The great amal of hajj, going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very beloved. Allah in great detail mentions about hajj. And here also the objective of hajj is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One great dua which is mentioned during hajj, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. This dua during Hajj, especially during Hajj and throughout a person's life, they say Anas radiallahu anhu, whenever he used to make dua, he would make sure that this dua would be included in his duas. If he was making many duas, and if he was making only one dua, then this was the one dua he would definitely make, because it's such a jami'a dua, such a comprehensive dua, and it comes in certain narrations that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loved this dua and used to make it in great abundance. The dua which he used to make the most was Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Allah give us every kind of goodness in this worldly life. Ulama say it refers to knowledge of deen, it refers to amal in a person's life, it refers to having a pious wife, it refers to having a good offspring, it refers to having abundance of rosy and sustenance in this world, it refers to having tawfiq and ability of doing good actions, it refers to halal and food which is halal and tayyib, pure food. All of these things are included in Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Wa fil akhirati hasana. In the year after, give us good, O Allah, save us from the azab and difficulties of the grave. And grant us goodness on the day of Qiyamah. Entry into Jannah to Firdaus, direct entry, ease on the plains of Qiyamah. And waqina adab al-nar, and Allah save us from the punishment of the fire. We mustn't even have to go. One is every Muslim will eventually go into Jannah, but it mustn't happen that we have to go via Jahannam. So in this dua, a person, such a comprehensive dua, asking Allah Ta'ala for every kind of goodness in this world and the year after. So in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, and thereafter certain masail and questions which the people had asked, because now the desire came in people, I must follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So automatically a person will ask questions. So Allah ta'ala mentions now what questions they were asking, and Allah ta'ala gave answers to them, especially regarding fighting and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thereafter Allah in great detail mentions about khamar, wine and gambling and all of these. There are benefits definitely for human beings, but the harm is greater than the benefits of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions about the masail of hayz. That's also the woman folk. Who must a person get married to? This is an important part of our life. Don't ever get married to the mushrikeen woman, the woman who haven't got iman in them, because they are impure. And if a person gets married to a believer who maybe is not so pretty, but she's got iman, even she's a slave girl, she is far better than a mushrik woman, a woman who hasn't got iman within herself, even though she might look very beautiful and she have all of those qualities. Because Allah says, these people are calling you to the fire of Jahannam, whereas a person of iman is calling you towards Jannah and towards the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is choosing a marriage partner also, he must choose a correct person. And so these are also part and governed by the Islamic laws. Hayr, the laws regarding hayr is a very important part, especially for women folk, because many of the masail are related to it. For example, fasting in Ramadan, hajj, the masail of salat, so all that related to hayr. And a person can have relations with his wife, he can't have relations. That's also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's part of our deen. Nisa'ukum harthul lakum. Your women folk are a farm unto you, a person can fulfill his desires with his wife, but according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the command, in certain ways, at certain times, it's not permissible for him to go to his wife. They also have to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, fulfilling one's desires is not the object of a person's life. It's a necessity of life, like how eating and drinking is a necessity of life. It's not the object of life. But unfortunately, these things have become the object of people's life nowadays. So Allah said, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, don't make this the object of your life, but send forward for the akhirat. Your object of life is to prepare for the life of the year after. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know that you are definitely going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't make your fulfillment of desires the object of your life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the laws of talaq. Sometimes in life, it happens in our person, he does not, there is no compatibility between him and his wife. So according to the Christian way, that a person must never divorce his wife. And so this is a, it's a, not a very, it's not a system which is beneficial for every single person. So now a person lives his whole life like that, and eventually he gets involved in zina and other evils. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made it so easy, you just give your wife talaq and finish. But now she has to set for iddat. The laws of iddat are mentioned in great detail. So now she must follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding that. And talaq is not something which you can play with. A person is just giving his wife talaq. So if a person gives his wife the third talaq, now there are many laws regarding it, because it's not a plaything. It's not a person can make a mazak and a joke of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, لا تتخذوا آيات الله هزوا, do not take the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a joke. It's a part, you're just playing fools now, you're giving your wife talaq, then you take her back, and you give her talaq again. No, these are very important laws regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you've given them talaq now, the honor and the respect of that woman, that is why she has got her iddat, she must stay in iddat, no one must take advantage of her. At that time, her mind also, she's going through some difficulties. She must have enough time now to think about her future, what she wants to do. And even when her husband passes away, 4 months, 10 days, now a woman can sit and think about her future life, and she can make appreciate the ni'mat and bounty which Allah had given her of her husband. So this is the time for her to mourn, and for her to her whole system to come right. So at that time also, a person mustn't propose for her, because that, her mind also will not be there. She'll easily accept it. Give her four months and 10 days. Thereafter, a person can propose to her and get married to her. So all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in great detail, how who must look after the children. Now the child is there to breastfeed the child, whose responsibility it is, especially after talaq is taking place. So subhanallah, Allah has mentioned all of this in great detail. Coming to the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a person's life and a person's wealth, these are all in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to give our lives and our wealth, spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a few incidents where when people, the command of Allah ta'ala came to the Bani Israel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made Talut in front, a person in charge of them. These people now, they were asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want help and assistance. When Allah sent it to them, now suddenly they changed their attitude. They are not prepared to accept the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now when Talut went with the army, he told the people, Allah is going to test you people. There is a certain well, you'll be thirsty. But if a person has to drink water from there, he won't be part of my jamaat. But if a person doesn't drink from there at all, then he will be part of my jamaat. And if a person has one or two drops of water, or one or two scoops of water, there won't be any harm for that person. So anyhow, this jamaat and this group goes past it well. And majority of them drink water from there. They are thirsty. Besides a small number of them, ulama say about 313, they remain with him. So then, now only the people who were with iman, they were past the examinations, they were able to stay with Talut. And the small army, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them now to destroy the huge armies who are of the people against them. Jalut and his people came, big army. But the small army was able to defeat the big army. Why? Because these people were obedient to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ, how many small armies and jamaats there who overpower huge armies by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is with those people who have got the quality of sabr within themselves, who have got sifat in themselves. Allah's help will come. فَهَزَمُهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, they defeated this huge army by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in today's time, all the striving which is taking part in the, is taking place in the world, we see what happened in Afghanistan, we saw what happened in Syria, small jamaat, but when they had taqwa within themselves, piety within themselves, an effort was made on the iman, and for so many years, 10 years, 12, 15 years, they were training, spiritually also, amal and iman was coming into their lives, and the small jamaat, how Allah's assistance came and help came to them, that in Afghanistan it happened also, in a few days they took over the whole country, in Syria also in 1 week, Allah Ta'ala gave them the whole country in their hands. This was based on iman and taqwa, and following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that your person will follow these commands, then outwardly it might be a small jamaat also, but eventually they will be successful. Allah will give them success in the world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions the great ayat, Ayatul Kursi, The greatest ayat of the Quran Kareem, which Rabi alayhi salatu wasalam once had Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, which is the greatest ayat of the Quran. Then he mentioned this ayat, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became extremely happy with him. So we should try to read this ayat after every farz salat, after the sunnat namazes, if there are sunnat namazes, but at least one time we read it, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, whoever reads ayat al-kursi after every farz namaz, then between him and jannat, there won't be anything besides death. As soon as he passes away, jannat is for him. And according to some narrations, whoever reads ayat al-kursi after every salat, then from this salat to the next salat, that person will be protected. And at night when a person reads it, then even shaitan himself says that, I can't go close to that person. And he's an angel protecting a person right until the morning when a person reads ayat al-kursi. So this is a very great one ayat only, which mentions the great qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should read this ayat in great abundance. It's an ayat of protection, an ayat of building up a person's iman. And then thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other incidents regarding life and death. That life and death, your life is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person must obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our wealth also, when life and death is in the hands of Allah ta'ala, our wealth also is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can give an increase and Allah can give a decrease regarding our wealth. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the system of Islam. That there are two systems. One is the system of spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions in great detail how the one is the virtues of spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are spending, our wealth is like one seed and it's giving rise to 7 ears. In every year there are 100 seeds. So 700 times more benefit a person is getting. And this is the bare minimum. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. Allah increases much, much more for whomsoever he wants to. Allah gives. And when a person is spending in the part of Allah, there are certain conditions. You must not cause harm to people. You must have sincerity. You mustn't make ihsan jatana. Ihsan jatana means you help somebody and then you go and boast, you know, I did this for you, I did that for you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave severe warnings in the hadith regarding this. And if a beggar comes to you and you do not or you have money, but now you give that person and then you start swearing that person and you tell the person many things, Allah Ta'ala says it's better you say, you ask the person for forgiveness and you don't give him, but speak nicely to him. Because Allah is independent, Allah doesn't need your money. And it mustn't happen, Allah Ta'ala can change the tables. And when a person is spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with riya and show, then this is of no value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just like a person spending, like there is a stone and water is coming down upon it and all the sand is just wiped away and there is no benefit, nothing grows there. So this is the example of a person who is spending, he's not following the commands of Allah ta'ala, he does not have sincerity in his action or is causing harm, he's not fulfilling the rules. When a person is spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mustn't spend whatever is junk, whatever has got no value, but he must spend of things which are valuable, which he himself likes. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain true piety until you spend what Allah has given, what you love. And shaitan will come to a person and promise a person poverty, and he will command you to do immoral actions. You spend the money in the wrong places, in haram places, then it's very easy. Spend it on this holiday or this wedding function, and so much money is spent in all immoral things, breaking the commands of Allah Ta'ala. There a person doesn't realize it, I'm spending so much of money. But when a person wants to spend in the part of Allah, then shaitan comes now and he promises a person that, you know what, you're going to get poverty, you're going to go through difficulty in life. Allah says, Allah is promising you maghfirah, forgiveness, and fadl. Allah will give you much, much more. Learn to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who must a person spend also? Allah ta'ala mentions this here. Hey, again Allah mentions about sincerity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the other side, there is another aspect, that is the system of interest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says such a harmful thing it is. Spiritually destroys a person, it makes a person mad. And the people who are taking interest, they will try to justify the interest. Allah Ta'ala mentions the justification which they make. But Allah Ta'ala mentions it's completely wrong. وَأَحْلَى اللَّهُ Allah has made halal riba, buying and selling. But riba Allah has made it completely haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the effect of riba is Allah Ta'ala will destroy riba. وَيُرْبِي sadaqat, and Allah will give rise to sadaqah and charity. According to our logic, if a person is spending in the path of Allah, his money is getting less. And he's taking interest, he's getting much, much more. But Allah says, no, Allah will destroy riba, and Allah will increase sadaqah and charity in a person's life. So therefore, and Allah gives a warning. Only one place in the Quran where Allah gives a warning of war. And that is when a person is taking interest. So how harmful this thing is, the taking of interest. Allah Ta'ala says, if a person is in difficulty, he needs a loan, give a person respite. And if you can overlook it, forgive that person for whatever loan you have given him. It's even far greater the rewards which Allah Ta'ala will grant to a person. So this riba system, and then the after Allah ends of the surah mentioning also about our business dealings, how when a person does a business dealing, it mustn't lead towards harm. So a person must make sure it's written down, especially its credit transactions and the witnesses. The longest ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions all of this in great detail, how our business dealings must be. So anyhow, this riba and sadaqah, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to mention that a person must make sure every month or every week or every day he must have a certain amount of sadaqah which he gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether, example, a person makes intention of 5% or 10%. Sahaba used to give 1/3 of the wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says at the beginning of the month it might be difficult. But when a person gets his paycheck, then from that amount take out a certain amount. 5% of my wealth I'm going to give in the path of Allah. 10%. Now put it on the side. Keep it separate. At that time he says it's very difficult for a person. But once it is, it's on the side now. Now to use that money to spend in the path of Allah becomes easy for a person. Now when a person is spending, he will see how much of barakah and blessings he will get in his life. On the other hand, is the system of riba and interest. When a person is taking this money, outwardly it seems his money is growing. And today, unfortunately, how many of our businessmen, they only work through the bank. Even if you go to them, you want to buy, for example, a car. Person says, no, don't go through the bank. He even has on his premises the banking institutes. And they are the Mr. Allah's curses. The person who is eating riba, the person who is writing the transaction of riba, all of this is found. And unfortunately, so many of our Muslim people are involved in this. Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat and guidance. And one of the great harms of riba, ulama says, their experience within 40 years, that business which is working with riba, it will come crashing down. It will be destroyed. They say, this is our experience we have seen. That one generation passes and Allah Ta'ala destroys that whole business. And we have seen many examples of this. We spoke to certain people, what and what businesses they had when they got greedy and they started taking riba, and eventually they were destroyed. Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Khalaji Sahib, Daul Barakatum, has mentioned a beautiful one incident. He mentioned a very frightening incident where one person was taking riba, and he explained that my father, this one person comes to my father and he wanted a loan. My father refused to give him, or I refused to give him because I said, go to the bank. This person refused to go to the bank. He said, many years now, 30, 40 years later, I see that man. He was a struggler at that time, a battler. He's still a battler in today's time. But he said, I've seen in his family, Allah has put so much of barakat and blessings. All his children, grandchildren, huffaz, ulama, da'is of deen. And there's no drug incidence of drugs. People are taking drugs. There's only goodness in their life. He said, my family, I've seen the effects of it. That my son, he eventually became gay. And he got married to a Christian man. And I think he passed away in bed. He was sleeping with that person out of AIDS he had. And he died in that condition. So he said, I saw the nuhusat and the evil of riba. So many people are complaining, my children today are like this. They are on drugs. The ulama say, look at your food. The food has an effect upon a person. So one is we are worried about the meat. Is the meat correct? But the money which I am buying that meat, is that also correct or not? The money also has to be halal, and then the food also has to be halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.